Here's what I wanted to ask on this subject. So, and we sort of talked about this offline a little bit, but let's just spend the last few minutes here talking about this. Jeb, you sort of alluded to this last episode. Where did you learn how to fly? What was the circumstances of you learning starting to fly?
Going back, and I'm not going to date myself here, but I will
You
say
started out as
early
a
to mid
child.
70s is when I learned how to fly. Growing up as an adolescent, my father was a pilot. He didn't fly for money, like myself. He was a general aviation pilot. He had his commercial ticket, but was mainly a quote private pilot, lowercase p. And when I was growing up, I felt that being able to fly and fly an airplane and pilot an airplane, I thought that was about the best, coolest thing a human could do.
There you
And
go.
my father was obviously supportive. My high school graduation gift from my parents was flying lessons through from pre-solo to private pilot.
That's great.
Oh, very
And
cool.
it was very cool. And I'm to this day remain very appreciative of that gift.
Now we know who to blame.
Now we know who to blame.
Do you by chance remember? I have this theory, and maybe it's just me. I have
Go
this
ahead.
theory that we have a special bond with the person who taught us to fly. Do you remember your
Denise
first?
Blankenship, female flight instructor, and this was back in the early 70s when that was a rarity. Denise, her father was a captain for Eastern Airlines based in Atlanta. She apparently grew up in the Atlanta area. I was in South Georgia at a small town airport called Tifton, a small town called Tifton. She smoked in one day as the new CFI. She was flying corporate Cessna 310, getting her multi-time billing hours and doing flight instruction on the side. She was the flight instructor du jour at that local airport, and she is the one who finished me up and signed me off for my private pilot check ride. Last I heard of or from Denise, she was a captain for U.S. Airways. And I do not know where whether I came across her name in an ALPA magazine literally more than a decade ago. She was a captain for U.S. Airways at the time.
Very
And
cool.
if anyone knows her or God forbid, Denise, if you're listening, please forgive me, but give me a call, drop me a note, love to hear from you. Hope all's well with you.
Dave, let me come back to your story in a second. Let me tell my story real quickly here.
Sure.
Like all of us, I had always dreamed about learning how to fly as a kid and as a young adult. And maybe like lots of people, though, I didn't even have a clue that that was something that was in my reach. I mean, I had the dreams, and I'd drive slower when I drove past an airport, but I didn't even know how to begin it. It just didn't seem like something that was within my grasp. When I first moved to California, well into my adult life, I moved in my apartment, and the woman who lived in the apartment next door, we shared a set of steps and a little stoop. And we were chatting on the steps one day, and about what we were, what we did in our lives and what was going on. And she told me how she was learning how to fly at the local airport. And I said, "Well, I've always thought that would be cool. I'd love to do that." And she says, "Oh yeah, you should do it. It's easy." And she gave me the whole rap about going down to the FBO and taking the demo flight. And she gave me the name of her instructor, who I got on the telephone and made an appointment. And that's when I first went down to Palo Alto Airport in Palo Alto, California. I've talked about that before. And my first instructor, the person who taught me to fly, was a guy named Jeff Aronson, who also went off to fly for the airlines. But he managed to get me about 90% of the way through to my private check ride, and then he got the call, and I finished up with another instructor. But Jeff was the one who taught me to fly, which I think is a very special gift. And it was terrific. As time goes on, I'm going to ask you guys for more stories about your
Good,
early, and
good.
I have some as well. Dave, where did you learn how to fly? What was that all about?
Oh, that's a little complicated.
And where is he or she so we can charge them as they should be charged?
My uncle on my dad's side, my uncle Phil, flew B-17s in World War II. Bought a new 182 the second year they were on the market, and that year gave me my first airplane ride, 1957. And that I was a bit you know, that I never forgot that. Like Jeb, I just couldn't conceive of going through life not being able to fly. But what I knew of learning to fly, what I knew of the costs, and my work background and salary range, I was sure it was completely out of reach until a buddy of mine took me out to a hang gliding site in southern Indiana overlooking the Ohio River. Now, my opinion of hang gliding was, well, that's just, you know, I've seen pictures from California. They run down the hill. They get about 6 feet off the ground and fly 6 feet off the ground to the bottom of the hill. Big whoop. Well, we turned the corner toward this bluff, and the very first thing I see is a hang glider and a pilot climbing above the tree level and turning into the wind and climbing higher. It's like, whoa, my Lord. I sold a motorcycle and went to Chattanooga that summer, bought a Seagull Seahawk 3, learned to hang glide, spent a week at Crystal Air Sports learning to hang glide at Raccoon Mountain Flight Park. Dan Johnson, by danjohnson.com, very active.
Dan Johnson, who was a guest a couple of weeks ago on the podcast.
A few weeks ago, Dan owned and ran the school where I learned to hang glide. And a few years later, after I moved to Chattanooga to work for Glider Rider magazine covering hang gliding, Dan taught me to fly trikes. So I got versed in ultralights and logged a lot of time in different ultralights and was pretty fat, dumb, and happy with that level of flying until I came here to Wichita 16 years ago. And living and working in the air capital and writing about the aviation business here in Wichita, it just seemed insane that I not have a license. So with thoughts toward my future, my wife and I bought a Cherokee 140 from a young man that worked at Boeing Wichita, adopted the hangar that it was in at Augusta Municipal Airport, and I linked up with flight instructor Don Hicks at Aircraft Training Specialist at Augusta Municipal, 3 Alpha Uniform, and in a month, 43 hours total time, Don got me through my written, my oral, my check ride, and I got my private pilot's license in 1995.
And aviation safety has not been the same since.
The FAA's got me grease penciled into so many radar screens, it's not funny.
My in number and yours.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
So to Michael from Pennsylvania, you got to do it. You know, and don't think in terms of giving up your job in order to go get a job in aviation. I mean, maybe that's in the future for you, but you know, go to your local FBO.
Scratch the itch first.
Take the demo flight, you know. Right. Find the local pilots group and hang out with some pilots.
Hook up with the local EAA chapter. Do the demo flight. I think last time I checked, it was $49. It's you get what you pay for, but it's definitely gives you the opportunity to actually control the airplane.
And if you really you've got a budget issue, Michael, take a look into learning to get working on your sport pilot ticket first. It takes half the time, should be about half the money. You can learn to fly in some fancy new light sport aircraft that'll be new and shiny and make you really depressed when you finally go off and rent one of the old airplanes to work on your private pilot's license. But it will expand your horizons. It'll get you into the air, and nothing changes your perspective like airtime. And it's also a life extender, because most people don't realize this, but according to Zen and a number of other non-religious philosophies, time spent flying is not subtracted from your lifespan.
Exactly right.
There you go.
So the more you spend flying, the longer you live.